Chapter 8. The 5 a.m. Method. The Morning Routine of World Builders. It is well to be up before daybreak, for such habits contribute to health, wealth, and wisdom. Aristotle.
Welcome to the 5 a.m. Club, the billionaire bellowed as he bounded down the steps from his seaside home. Bonjour, that's Creole for good morning. You're right on time. I love it. Punctuality is the trait of royalty. At least it is in my playbook. Stone Riley's my name, he declared, as he graciously extended a hand to greet his two guests. The tattered old clothes had been replaced with a black pair of trimly cut running shorts and a pristine white t-shirt with the line, "No idea works until you do the work," emblazoned on it. He was barefoot and cleanly shaven, seemed extremely fit, and sported a wonderful suntan, all of which made him look many years younger than he had appeared at the seminar. On his head he wore a black baseball cap, turned backward. His green eyes were still uncommonly clear, and his smile was astonishingly radiant. Yes, there was something exceedingly special about this man, as the entrepreneur had sensed. A white dove hovered over the tycoon, floating in the air for about 10 seconds as if suspended by magic. Then it flew off. Can you imagine this? It was a miraculous thing to see.
Let me give you two a hug, if you don't mind,
the billionaire enthused, wrapping his long arms around the entrepreneur and the artist at the same time, without waiting for a reply.
God, you have courage. Yes, you do, he mused. You trusted a disheveled old man, a total stranger. I know I looked like a vagrant the other day. Hey, it's not that I don't care about how I look. I just don't care that much about how I look, he said as he laughed at his own lack of self-consciousness. I just like to keep things real, nice and simple, completely authentic. Makes me think of that old insight. Having lots of money doesn't make you different. It just makes you more of who you were before you made the cash.
The billionaire peered out into the ocean and allowed the early rays of a fresh dawn to wash over him. He closed his eyes and inhaled deeply. The contours of his chiseled abdominal muscles were noticeable through his t-shirt. Next, he pulled a flower from the back pocket of his black shorts. Neither the entrepreneur nor the artist had ever seen a flower like this one. And it wasn't at all damaged from being in the billionaire's pocket. Strange.
Flowers are very important to anyone serious about creating magic in their work and private lives, spoke the mogul as he sniffed the petals. Anywho, I wanted to mention that my father was a farmer. I grew up on a farm before we moved to Southern California. We thought simple, spoke simple, ate simple, and lived simple. You can take the boy out of the country, you know, but you can't take the country out of the boy, he added, expressing an enthusiasm that was contagious while his sights were riveted on the magnificent sea. The entrepreneur and the artist thanked the billionaire profusely. They explained that their adventure so far had been phenomenal, and mentioned sincerely that the island and his exclusive beach were more beautiful than anything they had previously seen.
Utopia, isn't it? Said the billionaire as he put on his sunglasses. I am blessed, that's for sure. I'm so glad you cats are here.
So was it your father who got you into the habit of getting up with the sun? Asked the artist as they strolled along the water's edge.
A tiny crab raced by while three butterflies ascended above. Stunningly, the billionaire started twirling around like a whirling dervish. While he spun, he began to shout these words.
I would have it inscribed on the curtains of your chamber. If you do not rise early, you can make progress in nothing.
What are you doing? Questioned the entrepreneur.
It's an excellent quote from William Pitt, the Earl of Chatham. For some reason, I just felt the need to share it right now. Anywho, let me answer the question about my father,
the billionaire said awkwardly.
Yes and no. I watched him rise early every morning of my childhood. As with any good routine, he did it so many times that it became impossible for him not to do it.
But like most kids, I resisted what my dad wanted me to do. I always had some form of rebel within me. I'm a bit of a pirate in a way. Rather than fight a small war with me every day for whatever reason, he just let me do what I wanted to do. So I'd sleep. Late.
"Cool, father," spoke the entrepreneur, who was dressed in yoga gear this morning and carried her device with her to make careful notes.
"He was," affirmed the billionaire, warmly putting his arms around his students as they continued to walk slowly along the pristine beach. Mr. Riley continued, "It was actually the Spellbinder who taught me the 5 a.m. method. I was a young man when I first met him. I just launched my first company. I needed someone to guide me, challenge me, and develop me as an entrepreneur, a peak achiever, and as a leader. Everyone said he was the best executive coach in the world by far. He had a 3-year waiting list. So I called him every day until he agreed to become my mentor. He was pretty young back then, too, but his teachings had a depth of wisdom, a purity of power, and an ingenious impact that was remarkably advanced for his age."
"And the early rising discipline helped," the artist broke in.
The billionaire smiled at the artist and stopped walking.
"It was the one practice that changed and elevated every other practice. Researchers now call this kind of a core behavior that multiplies all your other regular patterns of performing a keystone habit. Wiring it in as a profound neural pathway took some effort, a little suffering along the way, and the strongest commitment I had in me. I'll be honest with you, there were days during the process of automating this routine that I was cranky. Days when my head pounded like a jackhammer, and mornings when I just wanted to keep sleeping. But once I locked and loaded getting up at 5 a.m. regularly, my days grew consistently and vastly better than anything I've ever experienced."
"How?" both listeners wondered aloud in unison. The entrepreneur touched one of her fingers on the artist's arm affectionately, as if to suggest they were together in this experience, that they were now a team, and that she had his best interests at heart. The artist locked his eyes onto hers. A gentle grin emerged. The billionaire went on,
"In this time of exponential change, overwhelming distractions, and overflowing schedules, getting up at 5 a.m. and running the morning regime the Spellbinder taught me was my antidote to average. No more rushing in my morning. Imagine what that alone does for the quality of your day. Starting your day luxuriating in the quietude only the early morning provides. Beginning your day feeling strong and centered and free. I found that my mind became dramatically more focused as the days progressed. Every great performer, whether we're talking about a championship athlete, a top-tier executive, a celebrated architect, or a revered cellist, has developed the ability to concentrate on optimizing their particular skill for long, uninterrupted periods of time. This capability is one of the special factors that allows them to generate such high-quality results. In a world where too many people dilute their cognitive bandwidth and fragment their attention, accepting poor performances and ordinary achievements while leading lives of disappointing mediocrity."
"I definitely agree," indicated the artist. "It's rare to see someone focus on their art for many, many hours in a row these days. The Spellbinder was right when at his session he called people addicted to their devices cyber zombies. I see them every day. It's like they're not real human beings anymore. More like robots, glued to their screens, not present, and half alive to life."
"I hear you," said the billionaire. "Protection from distraction is precisely how you need to work if you're serious about dominating your field and winning at your craft. Neuroscientists call this peak mental state we're speaking of, where our perception becomes heightened and our availability to original ideas rises, and we access an all-new level of processing power, flow. And rising at 5 a.m. promotes the flow state gorgeously. Oh, and by getting up before daybreak, while almost everyone around you is asleep, my creativity also soared. My energy definitely doubled. My productivity surely tripled. My..."
"You're serious?" the entrepreneur interrupted, unable to contain her fascination with the idea that a simple shift toward a bespoke morning routine could reorder a human life so completely.
Absolutely. Honesty has been one of my core convictions for all my years in business. Nothing beats going to sleep early each night with an unspoiled conscience and a mess-free heart. That's part of my farm boy nature, I guess, observed the billionaire.
Abruptly, the entrepreneur's phone signaled the arrival of an urgent incoming message. So sorry, I told my team not to call me here. I was clear with them. I can't imagine why they're bothering me now, she said as she looked down at the screen. In all caps, the following stark words appeared. Leave the company, or else you die. The entrepreneur fumbled with her phone, and then she accidentally dropped it into the sand. Soon she was gasping for air.
What happened?
The artist asked quickly, sensing trouble. Seeing the blood wash out of his friend's face and her hands trembling, he repeated with greater intensity and even higher empathy,
What happened?
The billionaire also appeared concerned.
Are you okay? Do you need some water or something?
I just received a death threat from, my investors. They want my firm. They are, trying to kick me out because they think I have too big a share. They just told me that if I don't walk away, they'll, kill me. Instantly, the billionaire ripped off the sunglasses he was sporting and held them in the air, making a circling movement. Seconds later, from behind a flourish of palm trees, two large men with earpieces and rifles sprinted down to the beachfront as fast as a cyclist on steroids.
Boss, you all right?
The tallest of the two big men asked tensely.
Yes, came the confident and calm reply to his security detail. But I need you two to check this out immediately. If it's cool for me to do this for you, he said as he looked at the entrepreneur, I can help you make this go away.
The billionaire then muttered something to himself, and a flight of doves soared by.
Sure, yes, I'd appreciate some help, the businesswoman replied,
her voice still shaking and pearls of perspiration appearing on her forehead, in the area where all those creases were.
Leave this with us, declared the billionaire.
He then spoke to his protection people, politely, yet with an undeniable air of authority.
Seems my guest here is being seriously harassed by some thugs hoping to take over her enterprise. Please figure out exactly what they're up to, and then present me with your solution.
Don't worry, he told the entrepreneur.
My guys are the best in the business. This won't be a problem.
Mr. Riley articulated this last sentence in a fashion that emphasized each word for powerful effect.
Thank you very much,
the entrepreneur responded, looking enormously relieved. The artist held her hand tenderly.
Okay if I continue?
The billionaire requested as the sun rose higher into the glamorous tropical sky. His guests nodded. An attendant, impeccably attired, emerged from a hut that sat higher up on the beach. It was painted green with white trim. Soon, the aide was serving the richest, most delicious coffee the entrepreneur and the artist had enjoyed in their lives.
Fantastic cognitive enhancer when consumed in moderation each morning, expounded the billionaire as he sipped away. And it's packed with antioxidants, so coffee also slows aging. Anywho, where were we? I was telling you about the awesome benefit that flowed to me after I joined the 5 a.m. club and ran the morning methodology the Spellbinder revealed to me. It's called the 20-20-20 formula. And trust me, once you learn this concept alone and then apply it with persistency, your productivity, prosperity, performance, and impact will increase exponentially. I can't think of another ritual that has contributed to my success and well-being as much. I'm exceedingly low-key about what I've been able to accomplish in my business career. I've always viewed bragging as a major defect of character. The more powerful a person truly is, the less they need to promote it. And the stronger a leader is, the less they need to announce it.
The Spellbinder spoke a bit about what you've been able to achieve, offered the entrepreneur, now looking even more relaxed.
"And the wild way you dressed at the conference definitely confirmed it," interjected the artist, flashing a sensational smile that showcased a few broken teeth. "Rising at 5 a.m. every morning was the main personal practice that made most of that happen. Allowed me to become a visionary thinker. Gave me a reflective space to develop a formidable inner life. The discipline helped me to become ultra-fit, with all the beautiful income advancements as well as lifestyle enhancements that come with superior health. Early rising also made me a pretty amazing leader, and it helped me grow myself into a much better person. Even when the prostate cancer tried to devastate me, it was my morning routine that insulated me. It really was. I'll go into the 20-20-20 formula in an upcoming lesson, so you'll know exactly what to do to get amazing results from the first moment you wake up. You cats won't believe the power and value of the information that's coming. I'm so excited for you two. Welcome to paradise, and welcome to the first day of a substantially better life.
The entrepreneur slept more soundly that night in Mauritius than she had in years. Despite the threat she had received, the combination of the billionaire's brief instruction, the magnificence of the natural setting, the purity of the clean ocean air, and her growing fondness for the artist caused her to let go of many of her concerns and rediscover a state of calm she'd long since forgotten. Then at precisely 3:33 a.m., she heard a thunderous bang on her door. She knew it was this time because she glanced at the alarm clock on the wooden night table in the stylish guest house her host had arranged for her to stay in. The entrepreneur assumed it was the artist, perhaps dealing with jet lag or sleepless after the excellent yet large dinner they had enjoyed together. Without asking who it was, she opened the door. No one was there. "Hello," she announced to a star-filled sky. Waves softly collided with the seashore near her cottage, and the scents of roses, incense, and sandalwood could be detected in the breeze. "Anyone here?" Silence. The entrepreneur carefully shut the door. This time she bolted the lock. As she shuffled back to her bed that was covered with Egyptian cotton and English linens, 3 mighty knocks pounded on the door.
"Yes?"
cried the entrepreneur, now alarmed.
"Yes?"
"We have the morning coffee you ordered, madam," a husky voice replied.
The entrepreneur's face was crowded by crevices again. Her heart began to thump vigorously. She grew deeply distressed, and her stomach filled with knots as humongous as the Alps. "They're bringing me coffee at this nutso hour? Unbelievable." She returned to the front of the guest house, undid the lock and opened the front door, haltingly. A stocky man with a disagreeable bald head and one eye that seemed out of joint stood there, smirking. He wore a red windbreaker and denim shorts that dropped just below his knees. Around his neck was a thin piece of blue string. Dangling from it was a plastic laminated photo of a person's face. The entrepreneur squinted to see the face more clearly in the darkness. And as she did, she saw the image of an older man. One she knew very well. One she loved very much. One she missed considerably. The picture in the plastic she was studying was of her dead father.
"Who are you?"
screamed the terrified entrepreneur.
"How did you get this photo?"
"I've been sent by your business partners. We know everything there is to know about you. Everything. We've tracked all your personal data. We've hacked all your files. We've investigated your entire history."
The bald man in the windbreaker reached under the front of his belt and pulled out a knife, bringing it to within a few inches of the entrepreneur's thin and particularly veiny throat.
"No one can protect you now. We have an entire team focused on you. I'm not going to hurt you, yet. This time's just about me making a point, giving you an in-person message.
leave your company, give up your equity, and say bye-bye. Or you get this blade in your neck. When you least expect it, when you think you're safe, maybe with that chubby painter friend of yours. The man pulled the knife away and replaced it under his belt.
Have a good night, madam. It's been a pleasure meeting you. I know we'll see each other soon.
Then he reached forward and pulled the door shut with a slam. The entrepreneur, badly shaken, fell to her knees.
Please, God help me. I can't take this anymore. I don't want to die.
3 more strikes came to the door. These ones were gentler.
Hey, it's me. Please open the door.
The knocking startled the entrepreneur and woke her up. The tapping continued. She opened her eyes, peered around the lightless room, and realized she'd been caught in a bad dream. The businesswoman rose from her bed, shuffled across the wide planked oak floor, and opened the front door, knowing it was the artist after hearing his familiar voice.
I just had the most insane dream, said the entrepreneur. A brutal man showed up here, had a piece of plastic hanging from his neck with a photo of my dad in it, and threatened to stab me with a knife if I didn't give my firm over to the investors.
You okay now?
The artist asked softly.
I'll be fine.
I had an unusual dream, too, the artist explained. I couldn't sleep after it. It's got me thinking about so many things. The quality of my art, the depth of my belief system, the foolishness of my excuses, my cynical attitude, my aggressiveness, my self-sabotage and my endless procrastination. I'm analyzing my daily routines and how I'll spend the rest of my life. Hey, you sure you're okay? The artist questioned, realizing he was talking a little too much about himself and not empathizing with his alarmed companion.
I'm fine. Better now that you're here.
You sure?
Yes.
I missed you, the artist said. Do you mind if I tell you more about my dream?
Go ahead, encouraged the entrepreneur.
Well, I was a little kid, at school, and every day I'd pretend I was 2 things, a giant and a pirate. All day long, I believed I had the strength of a giant and the rule-breaking swagger of a pirate. I told my teachers I was these 2 characters, and at home I told my parents the same thing. My teachers laughed at me and put me down, telling me to be more realistic, to behave more like the other kids, and to stop all my ridiculous dreaming.
What did your parents say? Were they kinder to you?
Asked the entrepreneur, now sitting on the sofa with her legs crossed in a yoga posture.
Same as my teachers. They told me I wasn't a giant, and that I definitely was no pirate. They reminded me that I was a little boy, and told me that if I didn't limit my imagination, stifle my creativity, and put an end to my fantasies, they'd punish me.
So what happened?
I did what I was told to do. I caved in. I bought into the attitudes of the adults. I made myself tinier instead of grander, so I'd be a good boy. I suffocated my hopes, gifts, and powers in an effort to conform, like most people do every single day of their lives. I'm starting to realize how much we've been hypnotized away from our brilliance and brainwashed out of our genius. The spellbinder and the billionaire are right.
Tell me more about your dream, the entrepreneur urged.
I began to mold myself to the system. I started to become a follower. I no longer believed I was as powerful as a giant and as swashbuckling as a pirate. I sheepwalked with the flock, becoming like everybody else. Eventually, I grew into a man who spent money I didn't have, buying things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. What a poor way to live.
I do some of that behavior too, admitted the entrepreneur. I'm learning so much about myself. Thanks to this very weird and hugely useful voyage, I'm starting to realize how superficial I've been, how selfish I am, and how many good things I actually have going for me in my life. Many people in the world couldn't even imagine experiencing all the blessings I have.
Got you, said the artist. So in my dream, I became a bookkeeper. I married and had a family. I lived in a subdivision and drove a good car. I had a fairly nice life, a few true friends. Work that paid my mortgage and a salary that handled my bills. But each day looked the same. Gray versus vivid. Boring instead of enchanting. As I got older, the children left home to live lives of their own. My body aged, and my energy fell. And, unfortunately, my wife in my dream passed away. As I grew even older, my eyesight began to fail, my hearing began to fade, and my memory became extremely weak. This is making me feel sad, voiced the entrepreneur, sounding vulnerable. And when I got really old, I actually forgot where I lived, couldn't remember my name, and lost all sense of who I was in the community. But get this, I began to remember who I truly was again. A giant and a pirate, right? Exactly, replied the artist. The dream made me understand that I can't postpone doing amazing work anymore, that I can't put off improving my health, my happiness, my confidence, and even my love life.
Really? Wondered the entrepreneur wistfully.
Really?
Responded the artist. He then reached forward and kissed her on the forehead.